say those same words this morning, Jesus, as the world that we live in scorns you and rails and rages against you. You say to us, will you leave me too? And we want to answer in the same way that your disciples did. Where would we go? You have the words, the very words of life. So Jesus, we're here with you and we want to hear from you. Please speak in power through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know where to tell you to turn. There we go. Genesis 45.
Genesis 45, beginning in verse 16. When the report was heard in Pharaoh's house, Joseph's brothers have come. It pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this. Load your beasts and go back to the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. And you, Joseph, are commanded to say, do this. Take wagons from the land of Egypt to your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Have no concern for your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. The sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the journey. To each and all of them he gave a change of clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of clothes. To his father he sent as follows, 10 donkeys loaded with good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and provision for his father on the journey. And he sent his brothers away, and as they departed, he said to them, do not quarrel on the way. So they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. And they told him, Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. And his father's heart became numb, for he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their of Jacob revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is alive. I will go and see him before I die. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, all of it is breathed by you for the purpose of instruction for us. So today, Lord, we ask that you would open up your word to us. God, that you would do a miracle during this time as you would speak to your people, as you would feed your sheep, Lord Jesus, as you would cause us to stand in awe of who you are. Lord, I pray for your anointing to preach your word, Lord. I'm desperate. I need it. And your people need to hear from you, Lord, not from any man. So I pray today that you would minister to us, Lord, that you would exalt your name during this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This little section that we read just now is a beautiful, incredible illustration of God's abundant provision. Jacob, in his wildest dreams, would not have imagined this blessing. Just not even crossed his mind. And, I think sometimes we categorize and say, this was God blessing Jacob, but the rest of the stuff wasn't. Listen, we need to understand that if it comes from God, it must be good, even if it does not seem good. All the hard things. Remember, we were talking about the famine, and I said, God in his kindness sent the famine. And God in his goodness did all these other things. So sometimes what we do is we classify things as good or bad, depending on whether we are comfortable or uncomfortable. That's generally how we do it. But if it comes from God, it is good. And even though it may not seem like that at the time. But what we find is this, that we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, and we see the same pattern happening in Jacob's life and in our life today. Satan's original strategy with Eve was to get her to doubt the goodness of God. Saying, you know, well, God left, told you you could have all that, but he's not letting you have anything from this tree. And the reason being is because God's withholding something from you. He knows if you do this. So in other words, he was questioning God's goodness. And so here we see another man of God, Jacob, who has some hard things going on. And Satan is using his same strategy that he used with Eve, questioning God's goodness. I think many of us can become like Jacob here. You know, you look for, you start believing and expecting the worst case scenario from God. You know, Jacob didn't believe his son was alive. And I think we can fall into that as believers. We can start, you know, expecting the worst case scenario. I was talking to someone this week, and there were two options, and one was the perfect option. I mean, this would be perfect for our family if this happened, and it would help for to be able to be involved in ministry. And then there's a second option, and it's not nearly as good, so we'll probably get that one. Why do we operate like that? Why do we expect kind of not what we would consider the best? And as I said, I don't want you to hear this as a prosperity teaching, because it's not. It's not name it, claim it, and whatever you want, and life is always good, and things like that. I'm not saying that, and I want to kind of communicate that up front. However, at the same time, I want you to know that this is a message that is encouraging us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and the goodness of God to expect good, not evil, not hard things from God. Because that's consistent with Scripture. Take a look at God's Word, Matthew chapter 7. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So why do we always expect not the good stuff, not the good things? And again, this is not a prosperity gospel, but we just, that's how we live. I think it's real easy to do that. It's real easy to fall into that pattern. And although we don't say it directly, I think in many ways we do question the goodness of God. You know, like Jacob, we doubt God's goodness for many reasons. First of all, it seems contrary to everything we believe or experience. Take a look at God's Word again. So they went up to Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. And they said to him, Joseph is still alive and he is ruler over the land of Egypt. And his heart became numb for he did not believe them. Why didn't he believe them? What was Jacob's primary belief right here? That Joseph was what? He was dead. That was the evidence. Joseph's dead. So Jacob's experience was, his understanding, his belief was that Joseph is dead. Joseph can't be alive. And so what happened was, is he struggled with this, believing that God would bless him in this way. For 22 years, Joseph or Jacob believed this. What about us? Do we fall into things because we've just had a hard life? You know, sometimes that happens. You've had a rough life. And your experience is, you know, just hard things happen to us. Maybe more so than other families. And maybe that's true. Maybe that is a fact, that really is the case. So your experience tells you that life is hard. And in some people's lives, it's not so hard. But in my life, it's like this. So then what we do is, because of our experience, hard things that have happened, then we default to questioning God's goodness in one sense, saying, well, you know, that's not going to happen to us. Because for us, it's always the hard road. God wouldn't do that. You see, we shift, especially if you've been in a season of hard things. You know, you kind of expect it to happen again. You kind of expect the worst to kind of occur. Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, I suppose the car is going to break down now. So even if experience is showing that life has been difficult, maybe it's just believing it. Believing it. That it's maybe not true like it with Joseph. You know, I see people who don't embrace the gospel because they believe in things that aren't true. You Christians are crazy because the Bible's full of myths. That's not reality. Or clearly there can't be a God because science has proved that evolution is true. You see, there's beliefs that people have that get in the way of understanding who God is and His goodness and the truth of the gospel. But in our own lives, we have difficult things that happen, and if they happen over and over again, then we default to this and we doubt God's goodness. The second thing that we run into is something that Jacob heard, is that this sounds too good to be true. We don't live in a fairy tale, Dan. Joseph is not only alive, but he's the ruler of Egypt. Are you kidding me? Sell me some popcorn. They got to make this into a movie. Right? And we run into that. I think we run into that in our lives. That's too good to be true. A joy unspeakable that we hear and read about in the Word of God. That God delights over me. He rejoices over me with joy. Oh, that's too good to be true. You don't understand what I'm like. You don't understand my struggles. That's too good to be true. But it's, why? Because you think it is? You know, you think of our salvation. It's unearned. It's undeserved. That bothers people. It can't be like that. You've got to earn it somehow. I mean, you got to have some game, some skin in the game here. You got to earn it. You got to do something for it. You Christians are crazy to believe that. I mean, you got to do good works and you got to give money to the church and you got to do these things, right? Because otherwise it's just too good to be true. I mean, this whole idea of, you know, it is grace alone through faith alone and Christ alone. That's too good to be true. And then by God's grace, He draws me to Himself. And then all these blessings are mine in Christ? Are you kidding me? Nah, that's too good to be true. You mean God would heal me? Oh, maybe I'm stepping on some thin ice here, but really? God wouldn't do. Why wouldn't He? That's too good to be true. I've been like this for so long. That's too good to be true. Why wouldn't He? Why wouldn't He? So we doubt God's goodness because it seems contrary to everything we've believed or experienced. We doubt His goodness because it seems to be too good to be true. And sometimes we doubt His goodness because we are just perpetual pessimists. We're perpetual pessimists. I lean towards this way. Some of you are going to, what? You, Dan? Ask Lisa. Danny Downer. Yeah, the glass is always half empty. And I'm really working on changing that, asking God to change my heart. But some of us are perpetual pessimists. We're more inclined to believe that things are against us rather than God is for us. We just expect the next boot to drop. We expect the next thing to happen. And what occurs is we lean that way. Look at what Jacob was thinking at this moment, okay? Give it like a half hour before he saw his boys. Okay, what was he thinking? Here's probably what he was thinking. Joseph is dead. Okay, Simeon is dead because he was over there. I'm probably never going to see Benjamin again. Probably never going to see any of my boys who left for Egypt again. And the bottom line is my family is probably going to starve to death. Right? That was probably what was going on. If you asked Jacob each one of those scenarios. Well, what do you think about Joseph? Well, he's dead. What about Simeon? He's dead. What about your boys and Benjamin? Well, I probably never see him again. My family's probably going to starve to death. There you go, the eternal pessimist. Yep, this is what's going to happen. It's got to happen. It's difficult when, if you're one of those people like I can be very easily, a pessimist. One of the things that we have to understand is that pessimism is not compatible with faith in our good God. Pessimism is not compatible with faith in our good God. Now see, this isn't denying that when hard times come, they're going to come, and that if we look at those hard times, we have to somehow gloss over them. That's not it at all. This isn't an issue of walking in fear or not being honest about life. It's just this idea that we're expecting it not to be good. We're expecting it to be bad. We're expecting things from God to be hard. Instead of just a blessing, a good thing, that from, again, our perspective, because all that is from God is good, even if it's difficult. You see what I'm saying? It's this sense in our hearts that we're waiting for another boot to drop, another bad thing to happen because, you know, that's the way it is here on this earth, and that's just the way it is to be a Christian. And so we approach life that way. And we wonder why our joy level is down here. Like I said last week, when we talk about forgiveness, and if we're walking in unforgiveness, it's like having a constant cold. Well, this is another area in our lives where if we're constantly living this way, it can be just bringing us down whether we realize it or not. And everything, oh, well, we'll see what happens. So what did God do in His kindness? God in His goodness changed Jacob's doubt, changed Jacob's low expectations towards God and God's deliverance and blessing in his life. God did a miracle in Jacob's heart, and what he did was he changed those things into faith. He changed those things into hope. He changed those things into high expectations of his great and good God. God did this work in Jacob's heart. He changed it. And he did this in a way that I think we can find encouragement if you struggle with this. We see two things that God did in this little section of Scripture that God did to take Jacob out of that place that he was at, and we'll look at the place that he was at because there's a little hint here in this section of Scripture. He did some things that lifted Jacob from this. He gave him the eyewitness testimony of others. His sons. And he saw the wagons. He saw the wagons that Pharaoh had sent. And he believed. Take a look at God's word. Genesis 45, verse 27. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, so they told him what Joseph said, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons, both of them, and so they told him what Joseph said, and he saw the wagons that Joseph sent to carry him. The spirit of their father Jacob revived. Those two. And then it goes on and says, now I'm going to go see my son. And it's interesting because if you read that, it talks about Jacob in verse 27. And then you go to verse 28 and it says Israel. It's like his spirits were lifted and now he was fulfilling that name change that God had given him. Just an interesting little shift in the Word of God right there. Hebrews, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Love the song today, this first song that we sang this morning. We're just talking about God's goodness, God's faithfulness. He is faithful. Look at this. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. How do we do that? How can we stir one another up to love and good works? Not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So there's a sense that the way we stir each other up, get excited about our faith, the greatness and goodness of God, is that somehow we do it with each other. It goes on in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The first thing that God did for Jacob to kind of stir him up, to start pulling him out of that pessimism and doubting God's goodness, was he brought testimony of others to Jacob about the goodness of God, of who God was. And that's what God does to us. It's the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness from other Christians. Let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you the goodness of my great God. Let me tell you about Joseph. He's alive, Dad. What? I can't believe that. And Joseph said this. So he heard testimony. It's so important for us as believers to hear what God is doing. We as elders are really going through a wonderful book as elders, and one of the things we were challenging is how do we take the gospel for us, not only us, but our people, so that instead of just talking about the things of the Lord, it's not just here on Sunday morning, but it's at home and it's in our workplace. And one of the suggestions that came up was the idea of, listen, let's start maybe talking about what God has done. And that encourages us. And then we want to tell others what God, like, did you hear God healed Melanie Maddie? Did you hear God healed Sally Young? Did you hear about these things? Did you see the goodness that God provided here? And all these things. And we're encouraging, we're lifting one another up, showing us the goodness of God, proclaiming His greatness, His goodness. We need to hear that. We need to hear that like this. And telling each other. And then when we go to work, it's easier. Sometimes it's easier to talk about those things than it is about what we had in our quiet time. Let me tell you what God did. You know, like I've said before, my atheist friend, I was able to share the gospel with him because of what God did in Melanie's ankle, how he healed her miraculously. And I said, well, answer me this. And I gave him the story. He said, he must have read it wrong. Oh, yeah, the world's most highest expert in this type of surgery read it wrong. I said, that takes more faith than me and God. But you see, it was that idea that I was bringing it out into the workplace, the gospel, but God used the vehicle of his testimony of what he had done in someone else's life. But it, not only just for others, but for building us up. We need to hear that sometimes. You know, because we fall into that situation where we doubt God's goodness, and we need to hear it. And what God is doing in other people's lives, the testimony of the greatness of our God. One of the things is the truth is that life is full of distinctions. And you may be sitting there saying, well, it seems like a lot of good things happen to other people, but not so much me. That may be true. Do you see the differences here in the Word of God? Benjamin got what? He got 5 changes of clothes and 300 pieces of silver. Right? What did the other brothers get? Not a whole lot. I think maybe that's one of the reasons Joseph said, don't grumble and complain on your way home. You know, be blaming each other and who turned me in and who did this and, you know, Reuben and blah, blah, blah. You know, instead, he says, hey, you know what? Don't be grumbling and complaining. But there was a distinction there that Benjamin got more of the blessing from that perspective, from a worldly perspective. And that's the way life is sometimes. So when we hear these stories, if you're a natural pessimist, you go, well, yeah, okay, that's them, not us. That's just the way it is. Listen, that's the way God is. And he gives, you know, he causes the rain to fall on the saved and the lost. And he blesses some financially more than others. And you know, they got a fancier house than you have and their car runs a little better than yours. That's just the way it is. So what? So what? Life is full of distinctions. But what we want to do is we want to hear testimony of each other, encouraging each other in our faith. Oh, I got to tell you what happened. I had a quiet time the other day. It was so cool. God opened up his word to me. And then later that day, I was able to use that to just encourage someone else. It was just fabulous. It was probably one of the few times that I felt really used by God.
It was wonderful. You know, my quiet times had been dry, and it was just like it was just alive for me. And I know that shouldn't be like it, but it was. And all of a sudden it encourages each other. So the testimony of others, that's what God used in Jacob's life. Let me tell you, we saw Joseph. This is what Joseph said. And something else happened. Something else happened here. Not only was it the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness to others, but this. Jacob could see the evidences of God's faithfulness and care for him right in front of his own eyes. He saw the wagons. It's important to see how the Word of God ties those two together. It says that they shared what Joseph had said, and Jacob saw the provisions, and he believed. Let's ask God to open up the evidences of Christ's faithfulness and care for us personally, in our lives, what He has done, so that we would see the wagons of provision that God has provided for us. Not just those people, those others, but what about us? He meets legitimate needs and desires with good and perfect gifts. That's what God's Word says. He meets them with good and perfect gifts. Let's take a look at the next. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift comes directly from the Father. So do you have a good gift today? It's from the Father. Your Father, if you're a believer today. It's a good gift coming down. In John chapter 3, verse 27, John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven." Not one thing. And in Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" If you look at that James section of Scripture, James 1:17, coming down. When you look at the original way that that's put in that verse, it has this implication. It's saying basically that it is gifts that flow to us in a continuing stream. It's constant. God's good gifts for you are coming down constantly. Constantly flowing from heaven to you today because of the goodness of God. Just because He's that good. God is constantly giving you good things. Constantly. Now, I don't know, Dan. Everybody here today can see me. Is that not a gift from God? Some can't. Most of us ate something either yesterday or today. Is that not a good gift from God that He provided? The fact that when this service is over, you're going to stand up, is that not a gift from God? You see, we don't look at it like that. But the Scripture says that God is so good, so wonderful to us, that He is constantly pouring out blessings in our lives. Even the hard times. I talked about it last week when I was sick. God knew that there were people that needed to hear that third part of the forgiveness message. So God in His goodness was allowing me to be sick. And because He had a purpose in it. And that was a good thing. I didn't like it a whole lot. But if it's from God, it's a good thing. And because He's got purposes behind it. But you see, what happened is Joseph saw the wagons of abundance that God had given him. And it stirred him with the testimony of others and his eyes being opened to the goodness of what God had provided, and it caused him to believe what before he wouldn't believe. You have your family, a gift from the living God. Oh, you don't know my family, Dan. You don't know my family. They all have ups and downs. They have challenges, but they're a gift from God. I think of the children. We joke around, and I go downstairs into the nursery and to see the little ones smile. I mean, what does that do to you? To me, it's just like, oh, God, thank you. Thank you. This little smile from this little one. You know, especially when you're kind of down and you look and they just smile and they light up your day and you go, wow, thank you, God. Or a flower that only you are going to see. I have that in my backyard. I'm kind of a flower guy sometimes, looking at them. And we got tiger lilies. Love tiger lilies. And there's this place down in our ditch where they are at. And I'm the only one that goes and looks at them. I'm probably the only human that sees them until they die. But that to me is like a blessing from God. You say, I planted it there, Dan. Be blessed. See, that God would open up our eyes. We have our church family here who love us. It's imperfect. It's an imperfect family just like your own. But boy, when we've got a roof over our heads, when the snow came last night and the day before. Now I know, I was grumbling too. It was 60 and now we got snow. But you know what? God, thank you for the roof over my head. You see, it's that seeing God's blessings in our lives, opening up our eyes. Unfortunately, like Eve, so many times we are not grateful for what God has given us, but rather we focus on what we feel He has withheld from us. I mean, for 2 weeks I'm whining because I'm not healthy and I can't go outside and enjoy the 60 degrees. Okay, so I'm whining about what I can't do. Instead of, Lord, you provide it all. I got a warm house, food. And I'm all looking at what He's withholding, from my perspective, what He's withholding. Little did I know that it was for the good of His people. Okay? But we fall into that, don't we? We just kind of default to that. To seeing what we feel God has withheld from us. And then we feel cheated and deprived because we think God should have given us something that He didn't. Instead of rejoicing in what He has. I'm going to go out today. I got an old van. 240,000 miles. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to stick my key in the ignition and it's going to start. I'm going to get home. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God is good. So let's ask God for the grace to change our hearts and start being grateful, not discontent, with the innumerable blessings that He gives us. I mean, it is flowing, as James says, flowing constantly from heaven towards us. The goodness of God, undeserved, unmerited in any way, over and over, wave after wave. God, help us see it. Help us walk in that, God. Because that's who you are. You're faithful today. You're going to be faithful tomorrow. You will be faithful and loving forever. Jacob was tested to believe the goodness of God and the providence of God and to respond in faith. He heard the eyewitnesses of and the testimony of others. He saw the wagons of blessings. And you know what happened? His broken spirit was immediately revived. Take a look at God's word again. Genesis 45. We read the verse. That word revived there is important. Because when you look at the meaning there, here's what it references to. It's the stirring up of dying embers almost extinguished. Can you relate to that? Just so discouraged, right on the edge of just completely giving up. And he was revived. God did this work in his heart. All that Jacob had feared was going against him. You know, my son Joseph is dead, and and Simeon is gone, and all these things, all this that the famine has done this, all those things that Jacob feared were going against him suddenly appeared in their true light. They suddenly made sense. God was sparing him from physical and spiritual death of Canaan and was preparing a place for him in Egypt. Suddenly it made sense. All the grumbling, all the complaining, all the pessimism, all the everything else, he started realizing God's purposes. And you may not understand God's purposes and all the things that are happening in your lives. Not at least down here. You may never know that. But I will say this, someday you'll see the purpose behind all the difficult things. You'll see them. And until then, trust in the Lord's goodness. He's good to you all day long, over and over. Focus on seeing God's abundant resources that belong to all who believe and trust and love His Son. That includes you. But see, if you're looking at just that, you're missing the point of it all. You're missing the point of the gospel. Because it isn't the stuff. It isn't the blessings. It isn't the fact that you can see today. It isn't the fact that you can hear. Or that you will stand at the end of the service. Or that you go home to a house that has heat. Whether it's yours or you rent. That's not the point. Because the gifts that God gives to others and yourself are evidence of His faithfulness, but they're only the means of getting us to look beyond the gifts to the giver, to Jesus. You see, that's your real treasure. That's your real blessing from God. It's Jesus. It's all about Him. This glorious Savior seated in the highest place, the right hand of the Father, ruler and reigner of the world, calls you friend, died for you. It is about Him, not the stuff. It is about this glorious treasure, the most precious treasure in all the universe. That is the greatest blessing. Enough to rejoice in all the difficult things that happen. Take a look at God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. All the promises in the Word of God that He's going to be faithful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That He is all these things for you. Will provide everything you need. All of those find all their fulfillment in Christ. Find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. And who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Spirit of God dwells in you. I mean, we're excited about our eyesight. Let's meditate on the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Now that's something to get excited about. I mean, eyesight is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad for it. But the idea that the Holy Spirit dwells within me and is a seal and a promise for my future inheritance, glory to God. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Because He gave the most precious thing in the entire universe of all creation. He gave that Him, Christ, to us. So then, if He did not withhold Jesus, the most precious, will He withhold anything good from you? That's what it's saying. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? And finally, Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God. It's all about Jesus. And His righteousness and all these things, all this stuff, will be added unto you. Brothers and sisters, all of God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus. If we just lived a really hard life in the world and you never saw God's blessings, Jesus is enough. He is enough to rejoice and celebrate about. He is enough. He's the treasure of the universe. And God, in His kindness, granted you salvation, drew you to Himself. And He has sealed the deal with the Spirit of God who dwells within you. What an awesome, great, wonderful God. He is worthy. And so when we look at this, we need to expect this great and good God, to expect good from His hand and start seeing it. And watch what God does to our spirits as He opens up our eyes to these things. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of You. You have been faithful, and You will be faithful because that's who You are. So Lord, open up our eyes that we might get our heads around the fact that You are good to us constantly. Your blessings flow from heaven moment by moment. God, help us to see that we might walk in that instead of focusing on what we think You're withholding. Help us to focus on what You are, what we can see in our eyes that You're providing. God, do this so that we might proclaim Your greatness to the ends of the earth, to our family, to our friends, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to those at work, so that the gospel might go forth and produce great fruit in our lives and in the lives of others because of Your goodness to us that we start seeing. And Lord, I pray this because of the most precious gift we have, Jesus. And it is in Him and through Him that we proclaim all this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.